I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. This has piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus here have also become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever, speaking out fearlessly about God, about the Messiah. It's true that some here preach Christ because with me out of the way, they think they'll step right into the spotlight. But the others do it with the best heart in the world. One group is motivated by pure love, knowing that I'm here defending the message, wanting to help. The others, now that I'm out of the picture, are merely greedy, hoping to get something out of it for themselves. Their motives are bad. They see me as their competition. And so the worse it goes for me, the better they think for them. So how am I to respond? I've decided I really don't care about their motives, whether it's mixed, bad or indifferent. Every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed. So I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happens to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. Jesus, I just pray that that message will speak to us today and that we'll learn new things for our lives from it. Thank you for the joy of Paul in imprisonment. Amen. Jesus makes the difference. Anybody disagree? Anybody agree? Well, Alistair chose this passage, and as I was getting ready to prepare the children's talk for it earlier in the week, I thought, wow, that's great sermon material on that passage. And then I got the phone call from Jim. So suddenly my thoughts had to change into an action. And so the sermon had to be presented and worked through. The background to the Philippi church had been formed on Paul's second missionary journey. And this background to this letter was that the Philippi church had sent a gift to Paul and assured him by their prayers and support. And I know how much our missionaries always appreciate our prayers and support too. So Paul was the same. The letter he wrote in reply is called the Letter of Joy by the scholars. Philippians is Paul's joyful letter. He thanks them for the gifts, and then he encourages them to have the joy of the Lord. Philippians 4:4 is a favourite verse. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. This first chapter has been subtitled The Joy of Suffering. And Paul is rejoicing in his imprisonment. He's rejoicing in his suffering. And we've just read how positive and how excited he almost was by his imprisonment. This passage reminded me then about Doug's sermon on thinking with both hands. On the one hand and then on the other. How many of you were actually challenged or encouraged by that sermon? A lot of us were, weren't we? My mother-in-law walked out of the church and said to me that was the best sermon she'd ever heard. It helped her understand the paradox of on the one hand this and on the other hand this. And it's been in my thoughts a lot lately. And so this passage is such a beautiful example of it. The difference from the one hand to the other is Jesus. So let's consider verse 12 to 14. On the one hand, Paul is trapped, isolated and imprisoned. But on the other hand, the soldiers and everybody else wants to know why he is in prison. He hasn't committed murder, he hasn't stolen, so why are you in prison? So on the other hand, their curiosity is aroused and Paul is able to tell them about Jesus. On the one hand, Paul is imprisoned. He's trapped, he's isolated. But on the other hand, the other followers of Jesus have become sure of themselves. And they are now speaking out with boldness where before they let Paul do it. What made the difference? Jesus. What could have been despondency of Paul's imprisonment is now joy of being able to share and see fellow Christians grow. Verses 15-19. On the one hand, people are preaching Christ out of love, but some of them are doing it for greed or for motivation or for ambition. But as Paul writes, on the other hand, Christ is being preached, no matter the motive. One hand, love, and the other hand, greed and ambition, but on the other hand, preaching is Christ. And wherever he's preached, he will have effects. What made the difference? Jesus. What could be anger for Paul about the motives for these people preaching wasn't. He was just rejoicing that Christ was being preached. Verses 18-21. On the one hand, Paul is in prison and he could die. But on the other hand, he celebrates because he knows the ending. If he does die, he'll be with Christ. But if he doesn't, he can celebrate the faithful prayers of the Philippi church and the living work of Christ. Everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. On the one hand, I'm in prison, but on the other hand, he's going to use every opportunity to preach and to show his love for everyone. Alive, I'm still Christ's messenger. What made the difference for Paul? Jesus. On the one hand, imprisonment, trapped, isolation. On the other hand, he knows that no matter what happens, Jesus is in full capacity and charge of what can happen in the world and around him and through people. The difference is Jesus. I've been working quite a lot lately on the problem of pain. And it started with a book. I started a few years ago with the young people coming to live with us. As you know, a lot of them had experienced pain in their lives. And recently I was, Glenys came across a book that she then passed on to me. And it's talking about things that happen in your life and that happen, okay? And so that led to me being asked to run a workshop at Easter Camp on the problem of pain too. We all have events in our lives. Right, and this is the one hand. On this hand, we have events in our lives. We have trials, even if it's fathers that have concussion. Isn't that right? Or husbands that have concussion. Some of these trials that happen in our lives, Mickey. We have grief. We lose partners. We lose children. We have disease. Dad's experienced a stroke that's changed his life. These things happen to us. They cause us isolation. They cause us stress. Sometimes in our lives we've got depression and sometimes we've got pain, and that's the one hand. And sometimes we've had it for a very long time and it will not go away. But on the other hand, we have the choice to allow Jesus to make the difference to that. We've got the choice to allow Jesus to make the difference, to grow us, to heal us, to forgive us. We've got the choice to allow him to provide the approval, the affection, and the attention that we need to take away that pain. I want you just to ponder this to yourself, just quietly for a minute or so. I want you to say, on the one hand, I'm experiencing this. But on the other hand, I'd like Jesus to show me what is the other hand. So let's ponder that for a few minutes ourselves. On the one hand, I'm experiencing, But on the other hand, Jesus, I would like you to make the difference. Like this Paul, but this is not what the world looks like to Paul on Jesus' hand. I just want us to say that it's important for us that, like Paul, that despite what's happening in our lives, Jesus allows him to show up, allows us to show us the other hand through our emotions, through our minds, or through others. Let's not just stay with our entrapment or our pain or our imprisonment or our overwhelmingness. Let's experience through Jesus what our emotions, what he wants us to be experiencing and growing through this, like he did for Paul in that letter. Because in the end, how are Christians different from the world? The world experiences all these events too. But as Christians, how do we show that we come out of it, have a different perspective, unless we allow Jesus to do that for us? Otherwise, we're just like the others in the world that are still staying on one hand, this is happening to them. But we have the other hand. We have Jesus enabling us and himself to bring all things together for good and for a deep joy, the same joy that Paul experienced in this time. Jesus makes the difference. May the words that have come from this letter touch our lives today. It's simple, Lord, but you're never complex. You really just want us to come with the circumstances of our lives and enable you to show us the difference. Thank you. Amen. Right, shall we have the offering? And then we'll say the benediction. So we have the offering first. Yeah.